What's Mel Forbes doing here? Is he
Allow me to, at the very outset today, extend my thanks for this opportunity to brief you on behalf of the College of Business, Economics, and Government. At the very outset, in discussing preparation for the briefing with my colleagues, a very important question arose, and that was simply, what should we, in a very brief period, attempt to get across that would be important to such an artist group? And focusing on this particular point, we came to the conclusion that we ought to make business sense, particularly in talking to business people. So we've provided you with a handout, and I will endeavor to focus on broad considerations today to give you some idea of what we are trying to do with the monies that have already been provided, rather than to ask for more money, to give you some idea of what we are endeavoring to do regarding new programs and the major problems that we foresee with regards to these programs. I'd like to focus, as I said, essentially on three things. We will point out, if you will, the statement of our purpose and our goals, which I will cover very hurriedly. Secondly, I would like to give you somewhat of an overview of a very important development trend, a very quick historical setting, if you will, for the college. And then, in doing this, I would like to call upon my colleagues, Professors Herring and Slotnick, to participate in this section of the presentation in order that they can focus on their particular operations with specifics, in as much as we are offering both graduate degrees as well as undergraduate degrees in these particular departments. And then finally, I will come back, cover very hurriedly our new programs, our major problems foreseen, with a quick conclusion. So may I have the first slide, please? I'd like to point out, with reference to the statement of the purpose of the college, three things very hurt. And that is that we're concerned with preparing students for positions or careers of responsibility in both private as well as public organizations. Secondly, we're concerned about preparing them or acquainting them, if you will, with the kind of society in which they will have to live and work. And thirdly, we're concerned about giving them at least a liberal arts education or knowledge in order that we can satisfy the appetites or the requirements of the whole man. With reference to statement of goals, I trust that you can see them very well. Our statement of goals compare, or they are quite similar to those that you will find at other colleges and universities. There is only one item of particular importance that I would like to point out. That is, we're concerned with graduate education in addition to undergraduate education. You might remove that, if you will, please. The next slide, please. Before getting into this particular slide, let me point out that the college started in 1962, the merging of the Division of Business with the Departments of Political Science, Econ, and History. In 1962, we were provided approximately $116,000. We had 149 students enrolled in the college, and I'd like to point out that the number of degrees and so forth will contrast with the last three academic years. I'd like to focus on the start of the college with $116,000, 149 students, 7 faculty members full-time, with several part-time. So with that thought in mind, let's take a look at 4 years later, what has happened. In 1966-67, the actual expenditure was approximately $237,600, more than double in the column. Remember in 1962, I said we had 7 permanent faculty. Here we have 14. We've more than doubled. With reference to the enrollment, I am referring to majors. The actual enrollments in the college exceed 1,000. But for majors in 66-67, we have 205 in the fall, 196 in the spring. The degrees conferred in that academic year, 35 bachelors, 3 graduates. Moving on, 6668, 6869. I'd like to point out 2 very important things to you. As you can see, the progression, we had a fall here in number of degrees. We've attributed this to 2 things: the flood, the migration due to Vietnam assignments, and there is a possibility that there is a 3rd factor, but we are not sure of that. But you can notice here, we fell down in undergraduate degrees, we did pick up in graduate degrees, and the projection, 15 undergraduates for the current academic year, in other words, in May, and this figure I would like to correct because we foresee, as of today, that this figure will be approximately 14 instead of 5. Let me hurriedly put out, digress back to here. We have $319,000 authorized for the college for the current academic year. We have more than doubled the budget in 8 years in the college. With reference to faculty assignment, we have 19, 3 of which, I should emphasize, 2 are part-time, and 1 is provided by a police administration program. For the spring, we expect 260 with reference to majors, and we have 267. You will notice in academic year 6869, there is a quantum jump in majors in the college. Mike, move that slide, if you will, please. At this time, I'd like to call on my colleague, Professor Robert Herring, to comment regarding the status of the arts and the business department.
Bob. Thank you. Very briefly, there are several special features about the business administration program at this university. First of all, we have relatively few faculty. 3 of us essentially full-time, perhaps a 4th depending upon how you choose to count them. In fact, this reflects principally that our work is at the junior, senior year, and in the MBA program. Therefore, we draw heavily upon economics and all of the departments which service the freshman and sophomore students. At last count, we had in the college Fairbanks area 6 part-time faculty contributing in one way or another to teaching courses for us, plus some 5 in the evening class division, and indirect support in the spring of this year for 2 faculty members in the Anchorage area. So our paucity of faculty members really doesn't show how widely we're spread across many areas. Next, we have the MBA program, which has expanded very rapidly in the Anchorage area, beginning with some 45 MBA candidates. It looks like we'll have 45 to 60 MBA candidates this spring. This is a very large student complement in terms of new programs. Dean Smith will mention some of our special problems in recruiting, and I thought you might be interested in where we are short staffed, where we are searching for people, rather than just we need more faculty. Number 1, we're really looking for a specialist with a doctorate degree in production management and quantitative methods, which would also complement the graduate programs in engineering management. We've been searching for some time and have made offers, though unsuccessfully, in this area. Secondly, we very badly need a man in financial management with some interest in investments and corporate affairs. Third of all, a man in marketing and marketing research who would also complement the work of our institute. Finally, a man in accounting, or several, and at least one to head up our graduate programs in the accounting area, which essentially means men with a CPA and PhD. So we're talking about people with very particular areas of special interest, and that is what we're trying to acquire for the coming academic year. Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to introduce provide Chair Dr. Slotny to comment on the status of the arts in the district.
When I came here in 1955, I was the one-man department. I proceeded to show my versatility within the next few years by teaching some 25 different courses in history. Fortunately, of course, this has since been remedied. We now have 5 people in the department, and our enrollment in addition has been very much increased. Now, in the past, we have been specializing primarily in Western history. I mean by that then the history of the United States as well as that of Europe. And we hope within the next few years to broaden our interests and focus our attention more upon such areas as Africa, as Latin America, as well as Asia. And I might say also that we have in mind again to do much more work in the North Pacific area than we have in the past. We have added to our staff Dr. William R. Hunt, who I believe will shortly become one of the specialists in the area of the North Pacific. And I might say again that although we have not done anything in African history, nevertheless, Dr. Orlando Miller will be giving a seminar for graduate students this spring in Negro history. Now, in the past 2 years, we also have begun a master's program. Actually, we have 2 master's programs going now. One, the Master of Arts in History, and one, a Master of Arts in Teaching. Primarily, these graduate programs were begun in order to strengthen the background of teachers of history in Alaska. Every school in Alaska, that is every secondary school, as well as every primary school, requires the teaching of history. And certainly I think then that it is one of our essential duties to strengthen the background of many of these people, some of whom have had very little work in history at all. We also hope that in providing a graduate program, we will be able to make the university a center for Alaskan studies. As you probably know, the library, especially through the archivist, Mr. Paul McCarthy, has been able to attain in recent years a good deal of material connected with Alaskan history, and inasmuch as there still remains a great deal to be done in the field of Alaskan history, I might say very little has actually been done, I believe then that by making this university a center of studies for Alaskan history, certainly we will be able to attract a good many people here, and certainly I think then that this will show that the university indeed has entered into a scholarly phase, at least so far as the teaching of history is concerned.
Thank you very much, Dr. Smith. May I have the next slide, please, Professor Smith? I would like to cover for you very hurriedly the future programs that we foresee in the College of BBG. Currently, we are offering only 2 courses pertinent to the area of public administration and comparative government. It's very inadequate for a political science department. Our students have need for more courses particularly in those two particular areas. Simulation International Relations, which deals with the relations between space being simulated, decision making, somewhat like the war game technique. We are not doing anything in this area now, and we're approximately 5 to 7 years behind. We would like at some future date to get into that particular area. Secondly, we would like to increase our course offerings in the Masters of Business Administration at Anchorage. And while on this particular point, I would like to say that we've been a little creative and innovative to the extent that the two courses that were offered there this fall were offered within existing resources. Professor Herring and Professor Arian have been commuting each week to teach in Anchorage. And I might also add that for the spring semester, the resources from the spring will be borne by the college, not by the South Central Regional Center for the continuance of that particular program. Item three, establish course offering for the Master of Public Administration at Juneau Douglas. It has been our experience that we have to find ways within existing resources, frequently by canceling the old or the obsolete in order to start with the new. We hope to later on be able to start the first course, preferably at graduate level, at Juneau Douglas for public administration. We must get to the point that we are growing our own businessmen, our own public officials as Alaskans. Fourthly, establish an interdisciplinary graduate degree program in regional development with emphasis on Alaska. In view of the growing concern for our resources with the Prudhoe Bay type activities, it's clearly apparent in the future we need to have more concern for businessmen knowledgeable regarding Alaskan resources. Increase course offerings in business administration to include computer training. Dr. Herring has already covered this item. We've offered so far two courses. There's certainly need for continuing this. The computer is a very vital and important tool, and we must make more use of it in the future in the training of our business students. The next item, the sixth item, make police administration a regular part of our academic curriculum. Approximately a year ago, we received $67,000 in a federal grant. We had hopes that this program would be refunded for its second year. We've been advised that it will be terminated as of 30 June 1969. We were provided approximately $67,000. We were able to recruit and hire two professionals, one teaching courses in Anchorage, a second one here, and one administrative person. We have currently over 100 people participating in the program in the state. There is an urgent need for the continuance of this program. The change was brought about in Washington simply as a result of the new omnibus bill regarding safe streets. They provide, if you will, loans and grants to the university to provide the students, not directly to the university as they have done in the past to hire professionals in a subsidized fashion. The seventh item, increase course offerings in history to include African or Eastern and Latin American studies. We are not in any of these areas at the time offering courses. Item eight, establish a Master of Arts program in North Pacific Area Studies embracing Alaska, Western Canada, Japan, and the Soviet Union. This should be an interdisciplinary program concentrating on the geopolitical situation in Alaska, if you will. Now, with regards to major problems foreseen, as Professor Herring indicated not long ago, there is a problem with reference to recruiting and the retention of qualified faculty. One item I would like to point out in this regard, the assistant professor who comes to the University of Alaska, who's starting, at the close of 3 years, whether he is living off campus or on campus, is placed in a dire strait, if not an untenable position, when the time comes for him to make the initial investment for housing. This indeed is a rather acute problem, and I suspect that it is a common problem rather than a particular problem for the College of DPG. Library expansion to support the above programs. I think that is an obvious item. If we were to expand into North Pacific area studies, if we're going into African, Far Eastern, and Latin American history, the library references will have to be boosted proportionately. With reference to plant facilities, until the new social sciences building is constructed, we will have a terrible time in physical facilities trying to cope with normal growth. Finally, with reference to minimum adequate financial resources, I would like to cover that in my conclusion to reserve adequate time for any questions you might have. I tried to focus on a conclusion to leave with you today. A few items that I like to think of as the wisdom that we can share in a matter of perspective regarding the challenges ahead. The College of Business, Economics, and Government accepts the unexpressed but clearly implied mandate from every Alaskan taxpayer that we must continue to find better and more efficient ways to get more from each dollar provided. This offers the most reasonable and sensible way of coping with the ever-increasing cost of quality and higher education. We must have your continuing support to effectively grapple with this very important task for the good of Alaska and for the good of the nation. There is, and there will continue to be, more demand and need for things to be done than funds available to accomplish them. This is not only a fact of the College of Business, Economics, and Government, but I suspect that it is a very common problem at the University of Alaska and at all institutions of higher learning throughout the nation. It therefore appears to me that the one, if not the most important challenge for the College of BEG should be to continue to sharpen our sights of ingenuity, of creativity, of innovation, of discretion, of planning and priorities to make sure that the things that really need to be done are achieved, and those that can wait or that should be disapproved or eliminated fall within their proper perspective. From the big picture point of view, this obvious challenge is not always so obvious to the individual faculty member, to the department head, or to the dean like myself, who occasionally forgets that their goals, their purposes, and their tasks are only one of many that must compete with a vast number of others for the only funds, or if you will, the limited resources provided for the operation of this institution. Allow me to say that we are indeed fortunate, and in many respects blessed, to have an administration, and I'm referring to the president at the University of Alaska, who genuinely understands and who tries to apply this wisdom to the overall mission assigned and the resources provided this institution. We deeply appreciate the confidence and the support you have so faithfully provided us over the years. And at this time, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. We find quite frequently that the assistant professor or the associate professor who have not had a chance to build a little financial base, especially if there are more than two or three or more members in the family, that after they experience 3 years in the area, perhaps renting, they ultimately come to the decision of having to buy in order to make an accrual in housing. Or, if you will, if he's living on campus 3 years, he has to move on. The initial outlay, the down payment on a house, the 8% interest that people have to face in buying a $45,000 or $40,000 home in Fairbanks. We do not have many people who are able to cope with the circumstances at that professorial level.
Any other questions? Well, we certainly thank you for your comments.
Very fine. I have to take this the opportunity to ask you a question.
I feel like I just barely hold my job.
In the months that have gone prior to this, I could certainly say that the cooperation from all of the deans and thank everybody on the administration of the university has been excellent, with one exception. You perhaps noticed that in the introductions today that I have been quite brief in making the introductions of the dean. So when I come to the next person on the program, this is the one dean that I just could not get anywhere with, always arguing and so forth and so on. And so now I give you then the College of Earth Science and Mineral Industry, and the first reaction of the dean would be, well, if you think that you had a problem, what do you think I had as dean of the college? And so it's gone. The the first. The College of Earth Sciences and Mineral Industry is one of six on the campus and one of two having engineering curriculums. The chart shows the organization of the college with three academic departments and an industry research laboratory within the college. Department of Geography, Dr. Rashi is the head, and in the Department of Geology, Dr. Forbes, and you can see the staff members that are there, both by name, also the degrees are had by each. And also associate part-time, Dr. Benson, Dr. Berg, Dr. Guthrie, and Mrs. Weber. And mineral engineering, Dr. Cook, head of the department, and there is Mr. Polk, Professor Erickson, Mr. Liu, and part-time two people in our mineral technology program. In the mineral industry research laboratory, Mr. Heiner, Dr. Robb. The degrees that are offered in the respective departments are shown in geography, the BA and the BS, and the degrees in geology, the Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science, to the PhD in geology, Bachelor of Science in Geological Engineering, and also we in cooperating with the Department of Education and the College of Behavioral Science, a teaching major in earth science. And then in mineral engineering, a Bachelor of Science, Mining Engineering, Professional Degree Engineer of Mines, and the two master's degrees, Mineral Industry Management and Mineral Preparation Engineering. The laboratory is basically concerned with basic applied research in conjunction with teaching and resource development. We have the next slide, please. This slide gives a history of the School of Mines and now then the College of Earth Sciences and Mineral Industry. The various programs, degree-wise, that have been offered over the years, beginning in 1922, are shown, and I think things that are important here, that programs have been tried, they did not prove successful, at least were dropped, and others put in. On the extreme left side, The first two columns, beginning in 1923-24, was the mining short course, and then in 1935, mining extension was started, and this carries right on through. And in 1962-63, this function became a part of the Division of Statewide Services, with the mining short course continuing until 65-66, and now mining extension does the entire job. In the Bachelor of Science, going on over to about the first third of the chart, mining engineering, curriculum there has started in 1922 and continues to the present time. The next column is a five-year span there where an attempt was made to put in a major, and this was major in placer mining. And this did not seem to be the route to go, so it was again taken out. And so it has gone. Geological engineering has begun in 1923, and that continues to the present time. Metallurgical engineering was also begun in 1923, and that was dropped from the program in 1963-64, meaning that it just wasn't the thing at the present time for the University of Alaska. And then in 1953, the geology, a Bachelor of Science program in geology was initiated and continues, of course, to the present time. Geography was added to the college this year. The next four columns with reference to the five-year bachelor program, this was actually begun about 1926 and then changed in about 1935-36 to options and two programs later to options, and this was then removed from the program in 1959. Master of Science been added in Geology, Mineral Industry Management, Mineral Preparation is indicated, and the professional degree continues to the present time. Sort of gives a history of what has happened in the college over the years, and I think it indicates a sort of a sensitivity to resource development as well as the overall needs. The next slide, please. Now this slide gives a sort of indicates a trend with reference to enrollment statistics at the university, the School of Mines, first in 1922, and continuing. The big drop in 1943-44 was, of course, due to World War II, and it has come back, and you've noticed now for the last 4 years the overall increase in enrollment within the college. Details of the enrollment figures are given in the lower table. Next slide, please. This is again a trend in graduates from the college. I think the overall trend there certainly indicates an increase along the way. Breakdown again is given in the table. That's all for the moment. The importance of mineral resources to the economic strength of a state and nation is fundamental and well documented throughout written history. In Alaska, the importance of minerals to the economy of the state is a matter of record and is illustrated by production of metals and mineral products, beginning with gold near the turn of the century and followed at various times by platinum, silver, copper, lead, uranium, marble, coal, mercury, chromite, gravel for construction, and of course now the flow of black gold. The revenues to the state and the petroleum industry since the Swanson River discovery in 1957 has been a lifesaver economically. This past year's large value of oil and gas produced underscores the great importance of the industry to the state, and certainly then becomes the indication of why a college in earth sciences and mineral industry. Young men and women can be trained best to take their place in these fields, the minerals, allied fields, by a faculty that is professionally oriented toward these fields. Thus the grouping of these disciplines allows for an integrated unit with particular capabilities and common interest working towards a common goal. This can be illustrated perhaps by this little formula, which shows the organization of the college also. Geography plus geological sciences plus mineral engineering, all plus research, will equal well-trained professional and an informed public plus contributions to knowledge. And this in turn will equal a strong national and state economy. Now, what are the objectives of the college? It can be listed in threefold. First, well, generally to develop resources, and in this we include men. Resources of Alaska with emphasis on, first, education of men and women at all higher educational levels for productive careers in Alaska in the fields of earth sciences and mineral industries. Second, contribution to world knowledge through research associated with academic instruction and directed towards developing Alaska's mineral resources. And third, service to the general public in the fields of earth sciences and the mineral industries through publications, conferences, consultations, and this type of material. The future of the college. To meet the increasing demands of people and changing society, as well as being sensitive to mineral resource development in the state, the college plans to continue to build strength in currently offered academic programs and to extend its activities closely associated disciplines that are properly within its scope of activities in earth sciences and the mineral industries, and we can say on land, sea, and air. That is, from the depths of the ocean and below, through the mountains, and to the moon, and beyond the moon. We're not going to start there, as we would work this into our discipline. Considered in these areas are programs at various levels, from the vocational through the PhD. The importance of research to academic instruction within or allied to the college is recognized, and greater expansion is contemplated in the several disciplines, including mineral economics. The projected new facility in the university 1969-70 budget for earth sciences and mineral industry, federal and state agencies, and the college will be a major step toward creating a strong mineral complex on campus and to be of assistance to the college in accomplishing its objectives. Addition of a petroleum engineering faculty member and initiation of the associate program in mineral and petroleum technology, scheduled to begin next year, is the result of considerable discussion with the oil industry people. If funds for the programs requested are received, the college will have taken a major step, again, toward filling its objectives. A graduate course in geology, oriented toward the needs of geologists and geophysicists in the petroleum industry, is planned to be offered for the first time in Anchorage, beginning this coming semester. At this time, I'd like to bring forward the three department heads we have for the college, and we'll carry from that point. If you'll come forth, please, all three. Introduction again, Dr. Cook, head of our Department of Mineral Engineering, Dr. Forbes, head of our Department of Geology, and Dr. Rashi, head of our Department of Geology. In our presentation that follows, the work of the college will be presented by Dr. Forbes, covering the areas of geography and geology, Dr. Cook, covering the areas of mineral engineering. My pleasure now to introduce to you Dr. Forbes. I would like to speak first of
about our newest department in the college, that of geography, which was established with your approval as a separate department on July 1st, 1968. After our presentations, Dr. Rashi, the head of the department, will answer any questions you have concerning geography. Also, enclosed in the packet of reading materials given to you are two geography handouts. One is the proposed development program for the department, and the second is the latest national announcement of job openings in the various fields in which geographers work. It is only pointing out the obvious to say that the geography of the United States, including Alaska, its location, size, and resources, has had much to do with our country's growth. Study of the subject of geography and knowledge of geographic research techniques has been of great value to those concerned with resource appraisal, regional planning, and economic development, and also to those concerned with international relations, both political and economic.
Give me 1 minute, Bob. I don't think we've got any of the handouts.
We anticipate you wouldn't get them until after.
Thank you.
Because of the importance of physical geography in the program at this university, we consider it particularly desirable to have this department in the College of Earth Sciences. Such physical courses as climatology, for instance, help us to round out our offering for those preparing to teach in the Earth Sciences program in the secondary schools. In cultural geography also, new courses are being introduced. These stress the important human aspects of geography equally with the physical. Because geography provides the bridge between the natural and social sciences, Dr. Rashi coordinates his program planning with the university's social science departments, as well as with the various natural science departments. Among new courses introduced or to be introduced this year are World Economic Geography, Asia, and the United States and Canada. The next addition to the staff in geography will be a cultural geographer. The enrollment in geography is increasing, and the need for additional courses and staffing has been demonstrated. More space will be needed for staff offices. The map collection, however, will be housed in the central library map room, except for maps needed for regular classroom use. Trained geographers go into many fields. Many are teachers, but many others are state and national government research workers in a great variety of fields. Many of them work on joint research teams with geologists, research engineers, biologists, anthropologists, economists, and with representatives of other disciplines as well. The field has grown rapidly and well-trained geographers are in great demand. The geography department is aiming to become qualified within 2 years to accept candidates for the master's degree in geography and to participate next year with a limited graduate course offering in the proposed interdepartmental degree program in regional planning. I would like to shift to the subject of the geology department at this point. Could I have the lights in the first slide, please? Currently, the geology department is composed of 40 undergraduate majors, 18 graduate students, and a faculty of 11, including 4 shared and 1 part-time appointment. This diagram illustrates the structure of our faculty in respect to divided versus departmental appointments and the administrative base of each faculty member. Drs. Berg and Stone are administratively based at the Geophysical Institute, and Dr. Guthrie's parent organization is the Biology Department. Dr. Hoskin, who carries considerable marine experience, teaches a course in marine geology and participates in oceanographic research, thus explaining his part-time affiliation with the Institute of Marine Science. Mrs. Weber, a geologist with the U.S. Geological Survey, teaches 1 course per year. Our department to broaden its instructional and research base with a minimal increase in funding and promote cooperation and joint projects between the institutes and the geology department. The current growth rate of the graduate research and study program is purely in large measure due to these relationships. In 1959, my first year here, the geology enrollment exceeded 30 students along a healthy growth curve. Staff reductions, however, in petroleum companies in the early 1960s, combined with overproduction in the universities of the enrollment trends with that plotted for the enrollment of senior geology majors in departments throughout the United States. The 1963 enrollment low experienced by this department coincided with the national sag. This was no comfort, however, to us, as the department, of course, experienced budget reductions along with its declining enrollment. The trend was reversed by 1965, and the enrollment has climbed steadily since that time. Based on a conservative projection of this trend, we should prepare for at least 60 undergraduate geology majors by 1970, and probably more. It is comforting to see that our enrollment rebound exceeds that shown in the national trend. One might well ask, why should we be so optimistic about a continuance of this trend, and why another reversal might not occur? These ads, flipped from one issue of a trade journal, explain our optimism. Immediate employment opportunities for exploration geologists, geophysicists, and even photographers and geomorphologists, special fields that were not of particular interest in industry until the recent research. If you have looked in the vacancies column in Geotimes, one of our most important vehicles for employment ads in the geology profession, in December 1963, the outlook was very grim. As compared to last month, where approximately 3 times as many listings were printed, these opportunities range from exploration, geology, and geophysics to an amazing spectrum of academic and research agencies and universities and colleges throughout the country. A situation which has also caused a special concern to us in the competition for this profession. How about salaries? Very good. And rising fast. These figures are already passe. As salary offers reported to us by our seniors in the last month, it ranged up to $850 per month, about $10,200 a year. Graders to median reported for the $9,600 level in last year's data. This salary schedule, by the way, is not for Alaska, rather for the southern states. As could have been predicted, the response to research and opportunities in the earth sciences was as rapid as the drop-off which accompanied the 1960-1963 slump. Note that the 1963 enrollment drop is reflected in the 1965 minimum in completed degrees. Since that time, however, the curve has been on the rise, and this has been the most productive year in departmental history in terms of completed degrees. Geology and solid earth geophysics are surely action sciences, and particularly so in Alaska. Alaska has a rich and exciting history in mineral exploration and exploitation, and most recently it appears that we have entered into a new era which carries much of the excitement of the old. Petroleum, of course, and in the Kenai and Cook Inlet, and now in the North Slope. And in recent years, the petroleum companies, of course, have hired increasing numbers of our undergraduates as field assistants during the summers, geochemistry and solid earth geophysics, joint disciplinary fields in the geological sciences, have become areas of special importance to the profession. Research and study in seismology, gravimetry, magnetometry, and paleomagnetism involve the cooperation and interplay of personnel and facilities of the Geophysical Institute and the Geology Department. Recently, the Geology Department and the Geophysical Institute have been encouraged by the National Science Foundation to submit a proposal for strengthening the teaching and research efforts in geology and solid earth geophysics. If awarded, this support could involve rather